yes. That's so much what we rejoice in today, Father. We get so frustrated, angry, and disappointed by the way we fall down. Just the stupidity sometimes we feel like we display in this life. And yet you're still there, ready to forgive us. Freely forgiving us. Not because we got it together and finally started walking right, but because Jesus Christ poured out His blood for us. So on that basis, we come to You this morning and say, would You, through Christ, teach us by Your Spirit? Would You open up Your Word that we might get it? That You would take spiritual words and spiritual thoughts and spiritual truths and impress them into our souls and our minds, that we might walk well with You this week. That You'd receive the honor and glory, we'd receive the joy, and others might see You more clearly in us. So teach through me today, Father. We thank You for Your great and amazing word, truth. Amen. You may be seated. How are you doing at taking care of that body God gave you? You know, it's kind of a loaded question, isn't it? But you know, these bodies of ours are always talking to us. And for some of you, they're talking more than they've ever talked before. And they are reminding us, by the way, that you are temporary. This world is not your home. Every ache, every pain is just a reminder that there is a place without that is coming. All right? But yet He has given us a body, and it is an amazing part of His creative work. How He has designed this skeletal frame to work. You know, I can't always keep mine together, so I gotta go see Kevin and I gotta go see Rob, because I got these different things going on with my 206 bones. You know, I mean, He makes these bodies very unique, doesn't He? Did you know that actually when He makes the babies, that they're actually different than you as adults? They've got 270 bones. And later on, those bones actually grow together. And there's a process of development that God is continually doing in the human body that actually displays His continued creative work. And you see it in every child, even as we had Scarlett up here this morning. And just the beauty and the glory of God and the image of God that you can see before we as adults mess it up, you know, that it's there. And then on that skeletal frame, God's wrapped these muscles that sometimes are talking to you about things. Isn't that right? But over 700 named muscles that make that skeleton work in a particular way. And then around those different joints, He's got ligaments holding it together so you won't come apart. And I know some of you are still coming apart, but there's a new day coming, all right? But it's interesting when we go to the Word of God that He says the church is His body. It's His body. And he could have said, the church is like my body. He could have said, the church is illustrated by the body. But he said, the church is my body, and I am the head of my body, the church. So what does that mean? And what does that look like? How do we know if we're in the body or not? Or how do we know if we're fulfilling his plan and purpose for us in the body? I want to just take a peek at that today and understand that if we see his church as his body, we will live differently with one another and with him. It changes everything. And so it was interesting, the Apostle Paul was given a greater level of revelation about the church than any other apostle, and was able to explore and expand things in a way. And one of the most marvelous books that God has written about this is the book of Ephesians. And I want you to just turn with me there as we take a look at this idea of the church being his very body. And I want you to see what that could mean for you if you get it. Do you know what I mean by that? There's times when you've heard it and you've heard it and you've heard it, but you still haven't got it. So I'm praying that he opens your mind up. In fact, that's what Paul was praying for the church in Ephesus. In chapter 1, verse 18, he says, I pray. And by the way, just a little feedback before I go any farther. The prayers of Scripture are marvelous instructions how to live in relationship with God. Marvelous instructions about what it means to really pray, because I'm here to tell you, it's very often I find that we don't pray the way they pray. So we can learn from this, okay? That's free. I'll charge you for the next stuff, but that stuff there is just free. Okay. All right. He says, and this I pray, that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but in the one to come. And he's put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Look at those last two verses again. He put all things in subjection under his feet. He gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. The church is his body. And it is an expression of the fullness of him, of Jesus Christ. The church is not just some human organization. It is a living organism. It is the very life of Christ displayed in people in relationship with God and each other. Think about this. If Christ is in each believer, is Christ here today? He's very present. And the Bible says where two or three are gathered in my name, what? there I am in the midst. There is a greater manifestation of me in an assembly than there is in isolation. He said, there is this greater reflection, and we're going to see why in just a minute when we go through this explanation of what it means to be his church. But there is this greater thing. And so when you gather with his church, you're gathering with Christ. Do you see that? See, this is one of those things where sometimes as a preacher, I just can't get it, okay? And I know I've been one for a while. So there's times you just kind of get in your own little mindset. But if a Sunday morning comes, I want to be with God's people. When there's a chance to gather, I want to be together. Lord knows, my wife has talked to me about this at times. Can't you just take a break? I said, because when we're on a day off, you know, when we're gone from here on a Sunday, I still want to be with God's people. I love that. You know? That there is something that happens. And if we really understand this, that it really is Christ in you and being reflected here, then what is going on if I don't really care about getting together with Christ? Is that a thought? If I don't have a desire, see, I run into people all the time who love Jesus, but I don't like his church. Oh, okay. You like your head, you just don't like your body. That's kind of sicko, isn't it? You know, I mean, it's the same thing. He also calls the church his bride, you know, and I don't know any man here who somebody says, you know, hey, I really like you. I think your wife stinks. I don't think you're going to have a good relationship with that person. So if we really get the idea that the church is the bride of Christ, that the church is the body of Christ, then this assembly becomes crucial to experiencing Christ in your life. This is not an option. This is essential. And the amazing thing that I see is that in America, where we have the freedom to have the option, we won't choose to exercise the option. And in countries where they risk their life if they get together, they will risk everything to assemble together, even though they know it may cost them their life or their freedom. Who understands the church is the body of Christ? Those who know the cost of being that body. And we need to take the freedoms that we have and express them fully. That Christ is here with us, and we have this great privilege to get together with him. And to think about that, you go ahead, you can do this. You look at that person next to you on one side, and go ahead, look at the person next to you on the other side. There they are. Did you do it? Okay. But did you see Jesus? There is something sometimes, you know what I'm talking about. There's times we just walk through life. You're just busy. Sometimes I come in here on a Sunday morning and my head's so full or so pained or whatever. And I'm just going. You guys know what I'm talking about. You've seen it. And you don't see. You know what I'm talking about? You just don't see. We don't acknowledge people. We don't even see that there's Christ reaching out to you. There's Christ needing to be expressed through you. Sometimes you see the need of Christ in somebody else, that they need to be encouraged in Christ. But there's that opportunity in the body. And so he says, I want you to get this. He says, I'm praying that you'd understand the surpassing greatness of his power toward us. And that surpassing greatness of power is displayed how? In the relationship and the ministry of his church. If you follow it all the way through the book of Ephesians, and we're not teaching the whole book in one morning. So I'm just going to skip over to where he starts to walk this out, because the first three chapters, he's just developing this whole idea of Christ in you, and then here's how it shows up in your life. So over into Ephesians 4, he moves into this more thorough expression of what this means. And he says this, for there is, verse 4, one body and one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and what? In all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led captive a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. Now this expression that he ascended, what does it mean? But that he had also descended into the lower parts of the earth. That was when he was crucified for us. All right? And he who descended is him also who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might, what does it say? Fill all things. Now he just talked about that over here in that first chapter. So you can do that comparison. And the next thing he's going to talk about is what? How he fills. How he works. All right? Follow your English. These are tied together for a reason, okay? So that he gave some as apostles and some as prophets and some as evangelists and some as pastor teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. We'll go a little farther in a minute. But he says, hey, he's doing this work that every believer is a member of Christ's body and is gifted to serve him in his local church. That you are a part of the body with a place to serve, with a function to fulfill, with a task to complete, with a job to do. You're a part of that if your faith is in Christ. Now you can come each Sunday and hear us talk about Christ. It doesn't make you a Christian. All right? You can park your bicycle in your garage. It won't make it a car. I've tried. Okay? It don't work that way. You know, you can hang whatever sign you want on that bicycle. You can call it motorcycle. It doesn't work that way. It's not by putting a label on it. It's by what the Creator does in it that makes it what it is. And when Christ makes you into a Christ follower, then you're in the family. And that requires a choice of faith. We'll talk a little bit more about that. But it says everyone who's a believer is in, belongs, has a place. Now, how does that work? How does this thing saying everybody's got their place work? Well, it's interesting. He starts off with talking about verse 11, that he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastor teachers, for equipping the saints for the work of the service. He says he gives and he addresses those four categories of giftings, the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, and the pastor teacher. That's kind of a hyphen gift. It's a shepherd teacher is actually the term in the original. All right. He says those are responsible for strengthening, for coaching, for encouraging, for equipping the rest of the family to do the work of the ministry. So here's this first principle. All right, and understanding how Christ displays himself, here's your first principle. Is this: Christ gifts shepherds with the responsibility of equipping believers to serve their Savior in his body. He gives the church these gifts. But he actually, it's interesting here, it's the only spot you'll see this in the New Testament. You might want to check this out. Is he actually talks about he's giving people, not just gifts. All the other descriptions of the lifts are talking about the functions, but here he says he gives apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastor, teachers. And I actually believe that God appoints people in unique relationship to unique places to get something done in that place at a certain point in time. I believe we experienced that this last year. where we had our mind and our thought on, hey, God, we'd like to see you bring somebody into the body, and it'd be nice if he's a little younger than James because he's getting old, and da-da-da-da, you know. And God had something else in mind and gave us somebody older than James, and is doing a work in us through a shepherd by the name of Ernie, you know. And 25 years ago, I was in the desert of Nevada minding my own business, which is his business, you know, when I got a phone call on a Sunday afternoon saying, hey, I hear you're a pastor and you don't have a church right now. And God does sovereign works to do his work because it's all his. Amen? It's all his. So he's doing this work, and so he equips through shepherds. Now, this is important because in American culture and with the American language, we've kind of messed up Scripture. All right? So what we say is the guy that's up here in the pulpit is the minister. All right? And we hire preachers to do the ministry. That's not what the book says. The book says the guy in the pulpit is a teacher, and he equips the members to do the ministry. You are in the ministry. In our language, you say, oh, when did you go into the ministry? The moment I got saved, I found I was in the ministry. And that's pretty much how it worked in our church. You know, I got saved, and shortly thereafter, I was plugged in some way. So junior high, they started throwing me in with ministry, you know, high school. Hey, take these boys here. You're an athlete. You'll be a good teacher. Follow the corollary, the logic of that train of thought. I do not have it, but I had this little group of juvenile delinquents. They had POs, okay? These guys had records already. And I learned how to minister. Because somebody plugged me into ministry, because somebody believed I was a minister, not because I was going to be in a pulpit, but because I was in a body and I had a place. And by God's leading, they put me in a place that he'd already worked. I didn't know. And this may be something for you to know. You don't always know what your gift is. Just because somebody else calls you someplace doesn't mean it's your gift. But sometimes God uses somebody else to reveal what he wants to do in your life, because you may not be open to it. So the pastor's job is to equip you to do your job. All right? It is not the pastor's job to do it all. And here's the challenge we have in our culture, and I could go on this for a while, just a little personal experience. But that idea of thinking that, you know, hey, the pastor's going to be there when I'm in the hospital, the pastor's going to be there at our wedding, the pastor's going to be there at our funeral, the pastor's going to be there at our parties, the pastor's going to... You can look pretty hard in the book to try and find that, but it ain't in there. But he says we are to bear one another's burdens. We are to be there for one another. We are to encourage one another. But a pastor's job is to equip. Okay? And so that equipping has the idea that I'm going to outfit. I will give you the resources that you need to get the job done. All right? So it's an important thing to understand is as you step into ministry and say, okay, I'm a gifted member. I've got a ministry. Okay, why do I need a teacher then if I know I've got my own ministry? Well, because I'm going to give you tools to do your ministry better. You ever tried to do a project and you didn't have the right tool? Oh man, that can get really frustrating. Or the tool ain't working right. That can get really frustrating. So equipping enables effective serving. So a teacher's job is to show you how this works. And so he'll give you a tool and explain it to you. And so as a pastor, I'm going to teach you all you need on any Sunday. I'm teaching you what's the next step to walk by faith with Jesus Christ. And so there's a step for you to take. And so I'll provide you a tool. Here's a truth that you need to know. But each time you go into it, if you'll go farther, there's more to be discerned. And so sometimes you get a tool and you go, oh, that's really cool. Okay, there's a promise of God. I think that's awesome. And you You know how to use it. You know where it works. But you may not understand that that tool has more capacity than you know. So it's not just a hammer. It's also a screwdriver. But it has to be used in a completely different way. And so you can see how Scripture can relate to a different aspect of your life when you come to teaching. And you've always seen that, oh, okay, God's my comfort over here. But now, hey, God's my strength. Oh, that means something else. I'm supposed to do something else. And as we explore the truths of Scripture, as I teach you both the promises of God and the character of God, you come to have a confidence in God. And you'll discover that there is more to God than you will ever fathom. And so there's a greater capacity. And so we say, oh, there's more there than I knew. And I'm here to tell you, you can keep going into the Word. There is more there than you know. And so when we put out truth, I'm not going to give you every explanation of every issue. That's why you've got references. So you'll go into the Word. We teach you how to get into the Word yourself so that you might become a person who's equipped, see, to do what God's called you to do. All right? And so that's what Jesus told his apostles there on the mountain. He says, hey, teach them to what? To obey whatever I commanded you. And so that's what they began doing. Hey, here's what he commanded. And so that's what I'm doing. You get here and I say, hey, here's what he commands. All right? So he then says this, equipping the saints for the work of the service to the building up of the body of Christ. For the work of the service to the building up of the body of Christ. The work of the service is the body of Christ. Now, most of you all got jobs, or some of you have retired from your jobs, and now you got the job of being retired. It's still a job. Different pay scale. Still got the same boss. Remember, there is one king, one lord, one master. Doesn't matter if you retired, he's still the boss. But in that place, he says, I have a work of service, and it's that you would do something that would affect other people. Friends, member care is every member's responsibility. It is a delight to me oftentimes when someone is in a crisis, and one of the reasons I think pastors are helpful in a crisis situation because you can equip a person how to handle the crisis, all right? And so you can share a truth with someone. But there is that presence there. And I think one of the delights that I find in our body as we have the numerous small groups going is that people are already alongside and bearing burdens and sharing life together before the pastor arrives, the teacher arrives. I think that's an awesome thing because that's the way the body's supposed to work. Is it doesn't have to go to the pastor. It is something that we can carry together. Your neighbor needs food. You don't have to call and ask me what you should do. Go do it. Do what he leads you to do. Do the service, all right? Step into that because it helps build up the body. And if Christ is in you, remember he says he's praying that you'd understand the surpassing greatness of his power. If Christ is in you, and he is, amen, that then you have all the power you need to do all that he commands. You have all the power you need to do all that he commands. And so when we look in Scripture and we see a command, we say, I can't do that. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. I can't do that on my own, but in Christ I can do all he commands me to do. Did you see what I just did? I took an issue in your life where you say, I can't. I equipped you with the promise that says you can through him and said, quit lying to yourself. Are you with me? That's this equipping where I bring you a lie, show you the truth, and say, hey, let's renew your mind to this because you can walk in victory over any area of defeat because you have the power of Christ in you. So that's my delight, is to be able to share this with you. Is I get to help you as a coach to be a bodybuilder. You know, if somebody's trying to build up more muscle, you've got to exercise it, though. It doesn't matter. The coach can stand there and tell you all sorts of things, and you can listen really good and you'll still be fat, lazy, and weak. You got to do something with what you're given to become what you could become. Does that make any sense? You got to do something with that. All right? So what does he tell you to do with that? Well, look what he says. He says, you're going to do the work of the service to the building up of the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. What? He says, I want you to work in such a way that you're going to grow up to be as tall as Jesus. Some of you got grandkids, and some of them have already passed you. Isn't that right? But that's what they're always trying to do, isn't it? When your kids do, they come up and stand next to you and try, I'm as tall as you. They're trying to be like you. They want to be as tall as you. They want to be taller than you. They're trying to grow up. Friends, what does it look like to be a grown-up believer? It looks like Jesus. That's what it looks like. And when we think like Jesus and love like Jesus, we'll live like Jesus. And so that's where maturity comes. All right? And so Christ, notice what he's doing here. He gives every believer an ability, a responsibility, and an opportunity in his body. All right? Here's what he says. We need to see this happen in the church. He says, so I'm going to do something. I'm going to give you an ability, then I'm going to give you a responsibility for your ability, and then if you exercise your responsibility, you will discover and fulfill your opportunity. Have I lost anybody yet? Okay, so here's what he's saying, is there is something that God wants to do in you. Why? Because of what it's going to do in others. Oh, my friends, we got to get off this American mindset. It's all about me, myself, and I. It is not. It's about him and us. And living for him is living for us. And we live that out with those around us. And so here's, he says, what happens. As a result, he says, if you begin to walk, if you begin to build up, if you begin to live in this unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of Man, I'd love to teach that, but we're not going to do it. All right? As a result, you will no longer be children. Remember, we just talked about growing up. He says, now you're no longer going to be a dwarf. You see, you can only be young for a short time, but you can be immature forever. True story. You know some friends. Old man sitting out there going vroom vroom still. Okay. Sorry. Oh, sorry. That's messing with people here. All right. I had no idea where that came from. As a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming, but speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ. That in every aspect of life, you'd become more and more Christ-like. We all know there's a spot in your life that's still dwarfed. That you have not stepped into the potential that Christ had. You've seen God change you in one area. You've seen a victory in this area and in that area. And yet you know, I haven't. Body life is supposed to help you move into all aspects. Okay, that comes by speaking the truth in love. Okay, into all aspects. And so, from whom, get this, the whole body. Not part, the whole body is fitted and held together. How? By that which every joint supplies. It's fitted and held together. It grows up into, it matures by the joints supplying what the other part needs. That connection of this bone to you, every bone in your body is connected to another bone except one. It's all connected, all right? And he says, in the body of Christ, he says, we're all connected. He says, and it's fitted and held together by that which every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part. The proper working of each individual part. Did anybody hear me there? It's the proper working of each individual part. If you got individual part that ain't properly working, your body doesn't work well. Some of you know what I'm talking about. We got stuff that it's just not working anymore. And it can be a small joint. It can be a large joint. It can be a small muscle. And it can make a significant difference to your whole body. But if it works right, it causes the proper working of the individual part. Get this. It causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Pastors don't grow churches. Jesus grows his church. Jesus builds his church. The pastor's not the head of the church. Christ is the head of the church. But I serve to equip saints who then serve one another. And as they serve one another, we cause the growth of the body for the building up of self-love. That was one of the testimonies you heard this morning, was their brother standing here saying, your love for us has affected us, has encouraged us, has led him back into ministry. After years of being out of ministry, he's been loved enough to step back into ministry. That's what a body does when it works right, is it helps the rest of the body grow up. So understand this. You've got a part. We've already talked about that, right? So if you're in the body, you belong, friends. You may not feel like you belong, but you belong. And there's parts of your body, when you look at them, you go, do we really need that? Yeah, you need that, all right? You may not need it all the time in every way, and at times it may get in your way, but you still need it. God has gifted you. You are a gifted person with a responsibility, an opportunity, and what? With an ability. An ability to make a difference in the body. You have an ability. You say, James, I got nothing. You quit lying to yourself. I got you right there. I saw you. I saw that. You quit lying to yourself. You can tell me I don't like my ability. You can say I don't use my ability. Say I don't understand my ability. But you have what Christ gave you. If he gave you, he didn't lie. True? He didn't lie. So you have an ability. You have a calling in the body of Christ. There's something he wants to do through you. And people say, well, James, I don't know how to discover my gift. You go love people in a way that brings you joy and satisfaction, and you find yourself in your gift again and again and again. See, it's interesting. The Bible doesn't tell you, hey, go find your gift this way, this way, and this way. What it tells you is serve one another. And you, how do you serve? I'm here to tell you, I like serving this way. I'm not so good with my hands and hammers. If you've seen my work, you don't invite me back. Just saying, that's the way it works, okay? But we've got some folks here who got serious skills when it comes to hands and hammers. Everybody's different. People with the gift of helps can function a lot better that way. I've been reading through Exodus, and God gave gifts of craftsmanship to some people back there, and it was the anointing of the Holy Spirit that gave them the ability to be a great craftsman. Some of you think that's a natural ability. There's no such thing as natural ability. You were created by a supernatural God. You've been given a supernatural ability for whatever you do. It comes from him. All right. So your gifting and your equipping enables you for ministry. It enables your ministry. There's something he has given you, and the truths that I'm teaching you will then strengthen you to say, hey, I can go do this. Your small group shepherd, as they give you truths, it's going to strengthen you. You're stepping into your small group. We'll talk more about this next week. But that discipleship that happens in those relationships allows you to exercise your gifts. Sunday morning, it looks like this is the gift right up here. You know? You think, well, I don't have the musical gift. I don't have the teaching gift, so I don't got a gift. No. Church happens best in relationship. And small group is really where church is at. That's really the manifestation. This is just the expression of the whole. And so in 1 Peter 4:10, we're told this very clearly by Peter, who's somebody, by the way, who after he blew it didn't feel like he belonged, and God says, you're still in. He says, you've got a job. He asked him one question after he blew it. What was the question? Do you love me? Friends, that's the qualification for ministry right there. Do you love me? If you love him, he'll give love to you. Read it with me. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Well, you hear that word steward, and so many of you think, well, stewardship's about finances. No, stewardship's about using any qualified resource that God has given you for him. Your gifts are your stewardship, whether that's spiritual gifts or financial gifts. See? Whether that's the relationship. Your time is a gift. We manage all that as stewards. He says you use it as a good steward. All right? So how do you become a good steward? You find a need and you meet it. Just start finding needs and meet, and you will walk yourself into the plans that God has for you. But just remember, you know, it is very difficult to learn to swim unless you get wet. You can look at that river all day long, but at some point you got to get in and go, okay. And it, you know, first time you go swimming, you're not so good a swimmer, generally speaking. Okay, so you don't have to be that polished. I am glad that you do not have access to some of my original messages. I've learned to swim a little better after being in a river a while, okay? I've grown up a little bit. But every person's ministry helps the church grow up. So you have to help us by doing what you can do. It's the proper working of each individual part. So you matter because you have not only an ability, but you have a responsibility. Because that's that idea of stewardship. Is if God gave you an ability, that ability then gives you responsibility. Weren't you raised that way? With privilege comes responsibility. My father put that in my soul. Okay? It is there. Okay? I didn't always feel too privileged. He thought it was a privilege to work. Took me a while to figure that one out. But you have a responsibility because you've been given an ability for the body. Because you're serving Christ. When you serve that other person, I don't care how short they are. I don't care how loud they are. I don't care how obnoxious they are. When you're serving Christ, it's Christ in you pouring out through you. And that's the responsibility. I've got something. I can give it away. All right? And so this responsibility is to serve in Christ's body. You have to serve in Christ's body to fulfill Christ's purpose. You can't fulfill his purpose any other way. Because you were designed to be a tool that works in the family. So the gifts are given to build up the body. Doesn't mean you can't do things outside the body of Christ, but you still, even your outside service is still serving the greater body of Christ. It is to reflect Christ in all situations and circumstances, friends. You matter. You are designed for duty. You've got something there. Now, each part has a function. There are needs that you can't meet. And you say, praise the Lord. Don't want to do that. It's okay. But there are needs that you can meet. See, it is just as foolish to say, I can do everything, as it is to say, I can do nothing. Because Christ is in you. You've got what it takes. But you have to make the commitment to say, being with Christ and serving Christ and letting Christ be expressed through me is the responsibility I want to step into. All right? And I'm here to tell you, it does not matter how old you are. I've seen 7, 8-year-old children have powerful ministry with their peers, with their neighbors, and with their parents, leading parents to Christ. I won't forget Alice Sanderson, 85 years old, running up the stairs to my office. I don't hardly run up the stairs to my office. But she'd come in and she would pray with me. And she was praying for me and with me until the day Jesus took her home in her 90s. Or a gal like Frances Givens. Some of you remember Frances? Frances Givens wanted to serve Jesus. And she worked in her office, but then she couldn't get here. She'd had 9 heart attacks. She'd have heart attacks checking her mail. She says, but I'm still in the body. So I want to serve. She says, you bring me something to do. We would take the bulletins by and she would fold them. She was committed to doing what Christ had given her to do, and she did it until the day Jesus took her home. Friends, that's this potential. Some of you know Ray Abbott. Remember old Ray? Man, Ray's legs weren't working, but he was still evangelizing in Royal Gardens. He was popping a Gospel of John or a track on you. If you came to see him, you heard about Jesus. So here's the thing. You want to know whether or not you're in ministry. It's a very simple task. It's a medical procedure. Okay, it's a medical procedure. I need you to do this. Stick your hand out. Okay, and then turn it over. Bring your elbow back just a little bit. Take your other hand. 2 fingers, preferably. Come across. Do you have a pulse? Okay. If you've got a pulse, God's got a plan. That's what I'm here to tell you. Okay? Now, you may have to change your pace. Okay? But you don't give up your place. He's given you a responsibility. And that is an opportunity. See, here's the opportunity. You get this? When we speak the truth in love, we grow up in all aspects. We need each other speaking the truth in love to each situation. I can't speak to everybody in every situation. I've tried. I can't get there. It's wearing me out. He wants you stepping up. And so when you speak up the truth in love, there is a difference with those two things, okay? We grow up in all aspects. And the whole body gets fitted. It gets held together. You know, when you do what you can do, it pulls people together. It helps the body be stronger. That is your opportunity. You have an opportunity to influence the whole body. See, we are not called to go to church. You are called to be the church. You are called to be devoted to one another. You're called to not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. But that's not about attendance. That's about connection. See, it's only in the American mindset we get this idea that, hey, I went to church, the preacher went for an hour, I'm done. No, 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 you're getting started when we walk out of here. I'm sending you back out into the mission field when you leave here. This is your ministry. We equip you here for the work out there. And in here, we do this together. And so your participation in ministry, look at this, it affects other people. He says, it's fitted and held together by that which most of the joints supply. Does your Bible say that? It says every joint supplies. So that means every joint is needed. Every joint has a function. And according to the proper working, in case you didn't get it the first time, he says it again, of each individual part, it causes growth. Here's your opportunity, friends. Your participation in ministry affects everyone else's maturity. You see, there's parents who are sitting in here enjoying the service because somebody over there is equipping their children a little bit farther. There's you enjoyed and being drawn into God's presence because musicians spent some time getting ready for that this morning and this last week, that they could do what they could do to invite you into his presence. But the fact that you have paper in front of you that gives you information is because other people use their gifts. Are you with me? It's each aspect of each gift that you were able to take communion because somebody was preparing that. Friends, it's the service that you do that affects everyone else around you and helps them grow up. It makes a difference. You've got an opportunity. Now listen. Every bone of the 206 bones you got. So 205 are connected. If you're not doing what he's called you to do, something else is dragging. Do you know what I'm talking about? Some of you know. I mean, I've got that little sciatica thing going from right down here. It's L4, L5. It's talking to my toes every day of my life because of a rupture up here. All right? There's work going on. This body's always talking to me. But there's a potential for you to make a difference if you'll let him work in you and through you. You know, you can go to the chiropractor to have your spine aligned, but you still have to do the work to build that muscle up so that it'll stay in place. That's what my doctor's told me. And he's told me quit doing some stuff too. I won't even go there. All right. But I'm trying to be a chiropractor this morning. And if you've ever been, you know that at times they put some pressure on you. Isn't that right? To realign you, to get you into a different spot. And it doesn't always feel so good. And sometimes when I'm here talking to you, it's like, oh man, what's with that, James? Let me tell you what I've heard from the body of Christ. You know, I quit going because every time I came, it felt like you were saying I was supposed to do something. So I'm going to go someplace else. I kid you not, right? I got an elder was with me when we heard that story. Well, hey, I'm not doing that. I've done that for a long time and I'm done. Somebody else can do that. We say things, friends, think it through in your walk with Christ. It doesn't mean we can't move and change responsibility, but we have a responsibility. And we have opportunities in youth ministry. We have opportunities in children's ministry. We have opportunities in worship, in small groups, in evangelism, in missions, working with seniors, working through the prayer team. We need you with what you're designed to do. In the ministry of each member, if you look back through this passage, I didn't get to teach all these, but it'll grow the body. Notice what it says in those passages. It'll grow the body in unity. We attain that, it says in verse 13. In maturity, it says that in verse 13. In stability, it says that in verse 14. We're not children being blown around all the time. You hold your ground. You know what you stand for, and you stand for the truth. And in integrity, you speak the truth in love in every situation. That's the maturity that Christ wants to work in us. And even as I talk about all this work, understand me. You don't get into the heaven by working hard. This is what you do as a child of God, not to become a child of God. It says in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, "For by grace you are saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, that anyone may boast." So you don't work to get into the kingdom, you work because the king has brought you into his kingdom. So you put your faith in Christ, you're saved through faith. If you've never put your faith in Christ, I'm not inviting you to work, I'm inviting you to trust. When you begin to trust, that trust will then produce work. Because faith always leads to work. The next verse in Ephesians says, "We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works." Not created by good works, but for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. If you've never trusted Christ, please do. If you have, let the trust be reflected in your work. Because churches grow as members serve one another in love. In fact, the interesting thing, if you study this passage out, it's not just that they grow more loving as they serve one another in love. The more we serve, the more loving we become, because that's what love does. Love serves. It doesn't say, "Give me." It says, "Let me serve you." All right? And so his church is built up by his members serving according to his directions. It's his church. Because you are his body. So what did I say today? Find your place, fill your place. Find your place, fill your place. God's got a plan, and you will make a difference. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. It is a living book. And I thank you for the gifts you've given me. I thank you for the family that you've placed me here in at Jerome Prairie. And I thank you for the way I see the gifts being displayed and see people training up other people to do ministry and people giving themselves away for one another. Lord, this is an awesome thing to be a part of. And yet I'm praying that you would allow us to abound still more. I'm praying in the midst of a culture that pushes the accumulation of money and pushes the busyness of life, that we would be those who would embrace the towel and be servants, not of ourselves, but of you, the Savior. So would you show us how to serve, that we'd bring you the glory that you are worthy of. For the glory of Christ, we ask it. In his name. Amen.